And again, verse number 29. Deuteronomy, let it read, and verse number 29. The head art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy health, who is the sole of thine neck, and say, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon the high place. Where thou, O people, saved by the law. You remember that in Exodus 33:16, we notice, we are a people separated unto the law. Ephesians 1:13, people sealed by the Lord's Spirit, and all for one distinct purpose. John 20, verse 21, we might be a people saved. Now we hope to deal with all these as we go on, morning and evening, but the main theme is, O people saved by the Lord. Let us think again of this particular theme. Last night we looked at seven positions we find ourselves in as the children of God, a place in his heart, place of affection, place in his hand, security, place in his feet, communion, his lips, reception, his side, fellowship, between his shoulders, strength, and in his everlasting arms, rest. Resting in his everlasting arms. This morning I want to think with me of the expression, happy art thou. You just can't help it, can you? If this morning we realize the joy of the sevenfold position in which we have been brought as the children of God, then we must be a happy people. The hymns our beloved brother chose this morning for us, with all a reference to happiness and to a rejoicing. And we thank God for these wonderful hymns. I want to break this word up into the little letters. The capital H-A-P-P-Y. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am. I'm sure I am. I am H-A-P-P-Y. Amen? Pretty weak, amen, but I think this is with me, aren't you? And then, I am S-A-P-P-D. I am S-A-P-P-D. I know I am. I'm sure I am. I am S-A-P-P-D. And of course, I'm L-O-V-E-D. I'm L-O-V-E-D. I know I am. I'm sure I am. I am L-O-V-E-D. And of course you are too, aren't you, eh? That's the whole thing. Right over them. Says, happy art thou. Now, aren't we a happy people? We sometimes sing, who happy did fix my choice on me, my Savior and my God, well may this glowing heart rejoice, and tell its rapture all abroad. I trust we all go back to that happy day. I trust all of us here know the joy of a moment in our lives when we receive the Lord Jesus as a Lord and as a Savior. And there's the danger of rejoicing in Him. We know the joy and the peace and the real love He alone can give to us. Now let's take again this word here. In fact, the seventh word here in this beautiful verse. First of all, we are a happy people. Then we are a unique people. Who is like unto thee, O people? And we're a saved people. We're happy, we're unique, and we are saved. Then again it says we're shielded. We're a shielded people. Then we're a defended people. Then we're a vindicated people. And hallelujah, we're a triumphant people. All in that one little verse. They're very precious. I'd like to take these up word by word, but time was allowed during the days we are together. We're going to take this one this morning, the word happy. Now I look at you, I think you're in the good of it. I know you are. We are a happy people. No wonder you're happy. Such congenial circumstances, wonderful surroundings, such sweet fellowship. What joy must be your joy being right here. Often I find in my ministry that behind a smiling face there's a breaking heart. And it may be just someone with that heart here this morning. And I want to try and bring cheer and encouragement and joy to you. You might know this wonderful intimacy with our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. The first of all, then, the happy man is a holy man. H-O-L-Y. He is a holy man. Says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, it is a distinct command that we should be a holy people. We sometimes hear it said, and we read it, it's God's will that all men should be saved. How true. It is the will of God all men should be saved. None should perish. But then we also read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is the will of God concerning you, that in all things we should give thanks. It's his will that we should be not only a saved people, but a thankful people. In everything giving thanks. And again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now we hear a little bit about his will regarding salvation, a little regarding thanksgiving, but a little do we hear regarding this being God's will, that we should be a sanctified, holy people. And you'll never know the joy of real happiness flooding and filling your heart unless we are a holy people. There must be no unconfessed, unjudged sin in your life, nor in my life. If there's a skeleton in the cupboard, if there's a guilt complex, brings on more tension, causes more ulcers, anything else, my friend, we know. My friend, I want to get that deep down in your heart this morning. If there is unconfessed or unjudged sin in the life, may have happened years ago, but has never been brought up and dealt with and put away. You don't know the joy of this real happiness this morning. It's always lurking in the back of your mind. May God give us grace. No, I'm not teaching psychology. Not at all. But I want us to get deep down into your heart. You must be willing, my friend, to deal with sin and to finish with it. The late Joel McCulloch, a man to whom I'm greatly indebted. We were ministering together between many conferences. I remember ministering with a Flint years ago. He took for his theme a verse from Peter, stirring up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He gave a master address, and I followed him with a theme from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Please turn it, in case I misquote. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse number 7, I think it is. Yes, these words. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Stirring up your pure mind by way. Notice it. And he emphasized it. Holiness. See what Paul says here? God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Holiness is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Holiness is spiritual health. It's spiritual wholesomeness. That, my friend, is holiness. Late George Goodman said many years ago, holiness is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. A nature that delights in purity and repels evil. A nature that delights in purity and repels evil. Let's look for a moment at the meaning of holiness from this chapter. Remember, my father, the happy man is a holy man. Now, I'm not teaching sinless perfection, very far from that. But I trust I'm teaching scriptural holiness, which is vital and convincing in the life of the man who knows the real joy and Christ winning more in his life day by day. In this chapter we've got the motive as well as the meaning and the method of holiness. Often I'm asked to speak at Second Advent meeting in view of the coming of the Lord Jesus. If there are two meetings, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, I'm asked to speak both. I always speak on preparation in the afternoon, then speak on the Lord's coming at night. I'm more concerned about the believer being prepared for the Lord's coming than I am about the Lord's coming. May I tell you why? No one will ever tell me that he or she are looking for the Lord to come back at any moment, but not got a desire to live a holy life. How do I know? 1 John 3:4 says, and those that have this hope set on him purify themselves even as he is pure. This has a purifying effect in the life of the believer. And no one will ever tell me that expecting Christ any moment was not got a desire to see souls born again. There is an urgent need, my friend, for the spirit of evangelism in the power of a holy life and in the energy of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look for a moment at a sevenfold picture here of holiness, and remember, happy art thou, O people, saved by the Lord. First of all, then look at verse number 1. Holiness is pleasing God. Pleasing God. Now that is the desire of your heart and my heart this morning, I know. No other ambition than to be ambitious to be well pleasing unto the Lord. See what it says in verse number 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, and I love that word beseech, Paul uses it over and over again. It means wooing to win. Wooing to win. Paul's got a picture of a young man gone before his young lady. He's proposing to her. He's seeking to woo her that he might win her. Wooing to win. That's the word he's using here. He's wooing those saints in Thessalonica. What for? He says, brethren, I exhort or encourage you by the Lord Jesus that as you receive of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Remember, Enoch has this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Isn't that just wonderful? Now remember, it says in Colossians 2, verse number 6, as ye have received Christ, so walk ye in him. He exhorts us to walk by faith, to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in newness of life. As ye have received Christ, so walk in him. How do you receive him? By faith. Now we've got to walk by faith and not by sight. And you'll find, if we're walking by faith and living by faith, faith purifies the heart. We find it in Acts. Faith works by love. One, it purifies the heart and it works by love. I thank God for that, don't you? Oh, the wonder that glory is true. So it says, now pleasing God is the first evidence of a holy life. That is your ambition. That is my desire, to be well pleasing unto the Lord. And that is an indication of holiness. Furthermore, going on with God. Not only pleasing him, but going on with him. What is it saying here? That you may abound more and more. There must be spiritual growth, a spiritual stature. And if we're going to grow up in the Lord Jesus, grounded and rooted in love, this is the outcome of a life lived in power and the power of the Holy Spirit himself. Now sit down to verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. There must be a clean-cut separation. A clean-cut separation from all that is unlike our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. When your heart and my heart are magnetized to Jesus Christ, they are demagnetized from all that the light Christ. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of heaven go strange again in the light of his glory and grace. I love to develop that in the time of another life. It says, separate and cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. I'm quoting from 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 1. Cleansing your after the thought on the unequal yoke of all the practical separation. In the closing verse of chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, then he comes and says, cleansing yourself from all filthiness of the flesh, that's the outward action, and the spirit, that's the inward desire. The inward desire. Now how important, how vital this is. Look for the showing. There must be the mastery over the body. Verse number 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The mastering over our body. I said in a meeting some time ago, very large meeting, when a man gets to about 50 years of age, he ought to go and see a doctor. A man more keen on sex and is more sex conscious around his late 40s and early 50s than even as a teenager. A man objected to these things. Today, that man, an outstanding Bible teacher, is out of the ministry. He would have got his gun and seen a doctor. I cried when I heard about that man, a brother in the Lord of my own. And I ministered with him many times. Literally cried. Sad thing, he's got no sorrow for his sin. No repentance for his sin. You know why? I'm perfect in Christ. The dear man of God, Alan Redpath, when he went to Moody's, he said, Dr. Ironside and Dr. Paul Reeder, they gave you an objective ministry. Wonderful ministry. Christ exalting ministry. But he says, I want to give that a subjective touch now. And I want to apply it to your life. What happened? His congregation over 3,000 people went down to 1,500. Why is this building not packed this morning? Not because I talk fast. I believe the Spirit of God is operating. I believe the Spirit of God is working here in this country. And people are not willing to face the truth. What happened? Men, my friend, leaders, they found out they're living in secret sin. They were secret smokers, drinkers. The business transactions were not above board. Before Alan Redpath left that building, what happened? He was back to the passage. But men and women were willing to do business with God. I look around this very fine congregation this morning, I know with all my heart that there are people here who are willing to do this to God, right here in the center. It is Philip, and dear B. Philip has said these words, learn to control your body. Treat it with respect and keep it pure. That's why Paul said, present your body a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Because you're reasonable, you're intelligent, sir. A death is a deliberate act. You want to be really happy with the thrill and the joy, the spirit and life? So you say, right here.
keep your body under control. Treat it with respect. And remember, keep it pure. Your body, my body, is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in us.
Look at verse number 5. Not in love the concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. The holy life is a transformed life. Not only is it life pleasing God, going on with God, or living a life of clean cut separation under the doors, not a mere negative, legalistic kind of thing which you're bad in bondage. Oh no. Life plain separation under Him is coming. Alive, vital, convincing, positive. That's the separation I want to know. A heart, magnetism, occupation. Jesus Christ. When my heart is occupied with Him, it is to be self-occupied. When my life becomes Christ-centered, it is to be self-centered. Not I, but Christ. In every look. You wonder why I stopped a minute ago, didn't you? Something came flashing into my mind, I must tell you. I refer to my beloved brother because he's still beloved to me. But that very day, within half an hour, our brother told us of three men, all outstanding men, who have been caught right here. When it came to the last one, I said, Brother Bill, don't say another word. I can't stand it anymore. And all I could think of these words, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Brethren, I am just as human as you are. But all the instincts that you have, and all that serve me urge, listen, with all the love of my heart. And I don't care how old a man or woman may live. None of us are out of danger until we're in heaven. Not that. None of us are out of danger until we're in heaven. The devil draws our footsteps right out of the pearly gate. And what has often taken a whole lifetime to build up of a testimony can go in one unwashed. Called to holiness. I have not called you to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Look down, please, to verse number 9. Now we'll touch verse number 6 for a moment, because this is very vital regarding the transformed life. You would say in verse number 6, let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. If any matter. There must be absolute honesty. Now there's number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it towards the brethren, which are in all Macedonia, but I beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, that is going to spill over. The love-filled life is a holy life. A love-filled life is a holy life. That's in this connection, verse number 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. Now again, the thought. Absolute integrity of heart. Honesty. May I go back over these 7 points? I want to go as slow as I possibly can. First of all, you remember, there is pleasing God. Going on with God. A clear-cut separation unto the law. A life transformed. I am it for now. The mastery over our body.
the mastery over our lives. Keeping it under control. Treating it with respect. Keeping it pure. Then the transformed life. Then the love-filled life. And then absolute honesty. Now that's the meaning of holiness. This brings spiritual health. Brings spiritual wholesomeness. Brings a gleam into your eye. Brings the glow of your countenance. Brings a spring into your step. Makes Christ feel every moment of every day. But what is the motive of this holiness? If we know to know real happiness, may I suggest three things. One, because it comes in the form of command. We are commanded to be holy. Now this is just as binding as breaking bread upon the third day of every week, or believer's baptism. Now these requests to remember the Lord upon the third day of every week, are you commanded to be baptized, to come up from among them, to present our body. Now holiness is a command. Are you fine? For the Lord, we need to be holy. We need to be holy. Not only is it a command from the Lord that we should be holy for I am holy. But my friend, we need to be holy. We're going to live to God's pleasure and to God's glory day by day. Unless in this connection, the world expects us to be holy. The world expects us to be holy. They got their standards. And my friend, we come below that standard if I don't understand it. In the place some time ago, having a series of meetings, going from door to door, inviting people into services, I went to a particular home, and I said, I'm conducting services on the Gospel Chapel, and I would like to invite you, I do it now, you will come. Philip, is that the stone to go to? I said, oh yes. Do you know him? If I know him only too well, I won't be there. I have a business transaction. Little father, when another dog, lady came this time, said they, I said the same thing to her. I said, oh, is that the doctor stone to go to? I said, yes. Oh, she's a lovely physician. He's my doctor. He's a godly man. I'll be there. For the contract. Are we retarding or are we advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ? The world expects us to be holy. What's the motive for holiness? Look at verse number 8. We look first at the meaning and then the motive, and now here we have the method. Verse 8. He therefore that despises not man but God, but given unto us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Praying that no other net we must yield the indwelling Holy Spirit. I'm suggesting you three things, yes? All under the letter R. He has given to us the Holy Spirit. Spirit, recognize His presence. R.E. Recognize His presence. Where? In our body. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What this, Paul, don't you know, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Recognize His presence. Remember the Lord said, He shall be with you and He shall be in you. May I ask you very lovingly with my own heart, have we ever taken time to get alone with God, maybe under some tree, probably in our own closet, and looked up and said, Lord, I recognize that my body is a dwelling place of the right Holy Spirit. My body is His temple. He indwells me. Has that truth dawned upon you? Oh, I don't mean just scripturally or doctrinally. I mean by divine revelation. Has His Spirit witnessed with your Spirit that He indwells you? The recognition of His presence in your heart and in my heart. When this truth dawns in upon us, it will revolutionize our whole life. And our whole Spirit indwells you and indwells me. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill my life with all to thee. Christ only always living in me. Second point, respect His person. First of all, recognize His presence. Now respect His person. He is the Holy Spirit. Holy. To all that is unholy, impure, suggestive, jealous, censorious, or grieving, is a Holy Spirit. What joy is it bring? Because He's a Spirit of joy. He's a Spirit of truth. He's a Spirit of holiness. Lastly, receive His power. Recognize His presence, respect His person, and receive His power. Ye shall receive power as the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be with you. Not by might, nor by power, by my Spirit. Beloved, when the two in the list, recognizing His presence, respecting His person, are an active fact in our life. Without the shadow of a doubt, we'll receive His power. We'll receive His power. Now this is what we wanted. This is what we want. That's why we're here morning by morning, evening by evening. Why you've been coming week out, week in. We want to know Christ. In an intimacy we've never known Him before. And Paul said, I may know Him, not about Him, not doctrines or theories, nor philosophies about Him. I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Be made conformable unto His image. Be made conformable unto His image. That's how I become conformable to His image. It's from there. Yes. One of the first evidences of the filling of the Holy Spirit is this. He gives us an overwhelming sense of the presence of the indwelling Christ. He takes aside the veil as Paul said in Galatians 1:16, and it pleased the Father to reveal, Darby, unveil His Son in me. Then Paul said, it's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. And that's one of the first evidences that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives us an overwhelming sense, the deep realization of the presence of Christ in us. Ephesians 3:16. Strength with all might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ. My beloved brother Harold Wilder said to me one day, Jim, the whole thing links on that little word that. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, not by some happy feeling, not by the one of ecstasy, so wonderfully, but by faith. Strained with all might by His Spirit and inner man, that Christ may dwell, settle down and be at home in your heart by the Holy Spirit by faith. Isn't that just wonderful? All that's vital to me, and I know to you too, So there it is, the meaning, the motive, and now the message of holiness is by yielding to the indwelling. Oh, I can't live a holy life, neither can you. And if you yield to the Spirit of God, you'll live that life through us. See, honey. And may I qualify a statement here? God made Christ be unto us holiness. He is our holiness, and in Him we're holy, and without blame before God in love. The wonder of it all. But I must know this in a practical, day-by-day, moment-by-moment living. That's what Paul said in Romans 6, verse 11. He brings out reckoning by grace, my crucifixion with Christ, buried with Christ, and raised with Christ, then likewise reckoned, because of the fact, reckoned upon the fact that ye are dead, indeed unto sin, but you're alive unto God, through Jesus Christ the Lord. There's the negative and the positive. The negative is, I'm crucified with Christ, I died unto sin, unto self, and unto the world. But the positive, likewise reckoned now, reckoning the self.
When I first visit to Canada, some over 20 years ago now, I was ministering in Toronto at Oliver Chapel. One night after service, I'd been going on for about 4 nights. Going out the door, a dear man came up and he said, my young brother, that's about 21 years ago, see, my young brother, please go on ministering a present salvation. He said, I've taught it in every cottage in the world. He said to my brother, what are your names? He said, Dick. I said, Dr. Northcott Dick. He said, well, yes, this is my lady. He said, no, see, night after night, I felt just like that. I didn't like the way Dr. Dick was listening to my congregation night after night. But these words have never left me. Go on preaching a present salvation. That only Christ died for the children from the penalty, and lived to live in the power of indwelling sin every morning of every day. One dear little author left me very present.
We're a happy people. We're living, you know? And then A, you're an assured people. A, assured. It says in 1 Timothy 1 verse number 12, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have hung against that day.
There's this verse here in 1 Thessalonians 4, you know, and it's really thrilling my soul. Verse 7 says, God has not called us unto unclean, but unto holiness. Now notice, God has called us unto holiness. But verse number 24 of the 5th chapter says, faithful is he that calleth you. Notice this now, who also will do it. Isn't that precious? Faithful is it, God, who also will do it. I love that, don't you? Ah, that's it. Can it cure people? It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the God, that ye may know, not ye may feel, ye may know that ye have eternal life. Oh, the joy of knowing. Not hopeful that no soul. I know I can't from death life. I know my redeemer living. I know once I was blind, but now I can see the light of the world. Then only are we a holy, assured people. We are a powerful people. We are a powerful people. What's it saying? Reading 1 verse number 19. God, by the king greatness of his power, and I give you now, usward who believe. When he raised him from the dead and placed him far above all principality and power. And I told you the other night that this is a liberating power, an elevating power, a subjugating power, and all this power became yours and mine on the seat of the Lord Jesus came to allow. All this power is at your disposal and mine. You're a power. The happy man, who is a holy man, who is a sure man, he becomes a powerful man. In himself he is weak, but in Christ he is strong. Paul Christ saying, without me ye can do nothing. Oh, that I can do all this through all of his power for me. Through all of his power for me. See, he's a peaceful man. He's peaceful. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and know him. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. His mind is saved. Great peace out there. Love thy law. And nothing shall be. One. He yields. Romans 6:13. Yield your members. Yield yourself unto God. There's the word happy. The happy man is a holy man. He is an assured man. He's a powerful man. He's a peaceful man. And hallelujah, he's a yielded man. And threaten thee yourself to be dead indeed. Crucify with Christ that ye now may reign with him. Raised together with the Lord, fill the light of you, not the Spirit of the Lord. And the lovely call, made from the room of death, and the reality of the day, and it be to my beloved God this morning, the fruit, you get it? Reckon me, yourselves to be, dead indeed to say, crucify with Christ, that he now may reign within, raised together with the Lord, fill the light of you, not the Spirit of the Lord. I'm a sure man, a powerful man, a peaceful man, a beautiful man.
Reverend Merriman's quiet in that moment as the Lord has spoken to you in some particular way. It is cause of thanksgiving, a reassuring of deep rooted conviction in your own heart that all is well between you and the Lord. Or it may be the Spirit put his finger upon some particular area that has not yet been completely surrendered to him. And you're going to do this for him now. And maybe some particular sin, and the Spirit put his finger with pressure upon that area. And you're going to do business. You're going to bring it right out. Call it by its right name. He's faithful and just. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ in me always living in me. Through Jesus Christ the Lord, to whom be glory both now and forevermore. I knew I talked rather fast, but you didn't quite get it. You were afraid to talk to me about it. We're here to help you. Thank you.